Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome to Parenthood and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. This show is a guide for parents and families. Brother Mark Shaheed guides the listening audience in an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This episode will focus on developing leadership skills in children. Listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experiences to the Learning Lab. And without any further ado, I introduce to you our host for this evening, Brother Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mark.
Alaikum as-salam to you, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, and to our very distinguished astute radio listening audience there at IWDM Radio. And as always, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, ya Rabbi alameen. Ashhadu ilaha ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshiped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, and the producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that's heard each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. And Dr. Slaw-Dean and myself like to welcome those of you who have tuned in, and especially those who have tuned in for the first time. We do want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. So we encourage you to ask questions or to make comments on any of the information we may disseminate. Or if, in fact, there's some of the information that you hear tonight or previous learning labs here on IWDM Radio, if it has resonated with you, we most certainly would love to hear from you. And you can do that simply by pressing 1. Those of you who are already dialed in to IWDM Radio. For those, and we are aware that there are many that have tuned in and listened by way of the Internet, we want to just say we'd like for you to bring an open mind and an open heart to this learning lab, and we're quite sure that you will get something from each production that's noteworthy that you would like to ask a question or make a comment on. And also, the only tools that you need is a sharp pencil or ink pen and a notebook, because we believe that something that's noteworthy will be said tonight, and you might want to jot that down to add something to what it is that already been said, or you may want to ask a question but to get more information in terms of what has been said. So for that, those who listen by way of the Internet, you do have to call in to the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, the number to IWDM Radio is 714-816-4673. This is a good time when we make our introduction here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab to text a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, a community member, that the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is in session live here on IIWDM Radio. We also want you to know that this learning lab has a foundation, and we utilize three sources for that foundation. And the first source is Al-Quran. This is the final revelation for all of humanity. The second source that we use is a life example of the prophet in living the Quran. Very, very important. We get the revelation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, and then we get the demonstration of the Quran in terms of living the Quran. The third source is the tafsir. Tafsir just simply means the clear explanation by a scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad. The clear explanation in terms of the Quran and also the life example of the prophet in living the Quran. These three vital components, these are the three sources that form the foundation for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab in terms of disseminating information and education when it comes to what correct parenting is and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. Also, over the years, we have developed some staples here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And for those who may be tuned in for the first time, I just want to just give you a few of those staples so that you can see that this learning lab is designed to give the correct information for the role and responsibility that parents have and how we can really reconstruct the destructive family life. We have given a simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting in terms of their role and responsibility. We said parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and yes, the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big, big role and responsibility, and we want to dismiss the misnomer, the misconception and perception that this is only the role and responsibility of the mother only. No, this is the role and responsibility of both the father and the mother. As we say in the word family, it is father and mother inevitably loving you. So this is both the role of both the father and the mother, these vital components that comprise the holistic human being. They have to be nurtured and cultivated by both parents. Also, another staple in terms of the role and responsibility that we have as parents is to raise our children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities. These are things that we teach here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and those leadership qualities should be first and foremost for our children, and then it is for the family, and then it is for the community. And we say, inshallah, which simply means, God willing, with consciously regardful parents knowing and understanding and the willingness to fulfill the obligation and responsibility they have to their children, that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking. Also, another very vital and valuable staple here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that Almighty God, Allah, He is the first teacher to His human creation. And when that life is birthed here on earth, He has given the honor and the distinction to the mother to become the first teacher and the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And it is the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. Many, many interpretations of that, but I simply will just say, once again, it has been the honor and distinction that Almighty God has given to the mother to give that foundational knowledge not only to our baby girls, but also our baby boys and their growth and development. And it has become a tradition here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab to always have an overview from the previous learning lab that you may have missed for one reason or another, or maybe your first time tuning in, so that you can be apprised of what took place last week. And we have one of the best to give overviews that I ever encountered, my partner, Dr. Patricia Slaudine. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, and how are you this Wednesday evening?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Brother Mark, I am doing well. Alhamdulillah, how are you?
And you know I am just doing just fantastic. I'm always amped up on Wednesday because it's time for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And when we look at all the social ills that human society is challenging, confronted with today, we know that the only way that we can remake the world and make a difference in the world, it has to start in the first social unit, and that's the sacred institution of family, and that's where we really have to start to remake the world. So this is vitally important. Back to you, Dr. Patricia Slaudine.
Yes, it is. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. The resource we're using for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is Parenting Skills, based on the Quran and Sunnah by Dr. Ikram and Dr. Muhammad Rita Bashir. The book can be purchased from Amana Book Publications, www.amana-publications.com, and also from Amazon. To hear the entire episode from last week, please go to blogtalkradio.com and select Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And I would definitely urge you to go to the episode from last week, because the conversation was very, very rich. And we're dealing with questions from our survey that we're doing, and we did question number one. So our summary is going to be brief because we only did question number one. And if you want to hear the deep conversation that took place, please go to blogtalkradio.com and listen to the conversation. As we search ourselves and review all the actions and parental behaviors that we use with our children, we will find that our behavior and actions are results of how we were treated or the perception of treatment from our parents or caretakers. In last week's episode, we discussed question number one, which addresses the love and affection one may have experienced growing up in the family. Option A stated, received hugs and kisses. Option B, did not receive hugs and kisses, but love was felt. And option C, did not receive hugs and kisses, and love was not felt. And so we had responses from each one. The points around that question included how families are socialized and acculturated, how men versus women are socialized, how the effects of slavery influence family behavior. We also noted the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, how he experienced socialization growing up without his mother and father. We learned that he was given love and attention by his grandfather and uncle during his formative years. And as an adult, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, was very loving and caring, especially with children. In conclusion, from this discussion of self-search question number one, we noted that regardless of our childhood experience, with the mercy of Allah, we have the ability to choose how we will behave. Allah has given us guidance through revelation and the life example of his prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. Assalamu alaikum, and back to you, Brother Mark.
Alhamdulillah. Wa alaykum as-salam to you. Once again, excellent, excellent overview. And as you so eloquently articulated, it was centered on the first question in terms of self-search. And, you know, I want to just say I don't know if our special guest facilitator is with us. And if you are with us, Sister Zaki Berkan, please press 1. Please press 1 so that we can see you in the queue. And Dr. Slaudin, I'm counting on you to look at the studio board. Do you see where she may have pressed 1? I don't know if she will actually be with us tonight, but she was scheduled to be with us tonight. Do you see anybody in the queue at this point that have pressed 1? Just let it. Okay. So, inshallah, maybe she will chime in with us later. I was very, very impressed with her as she has been an educator, I think, for close to 40 years and actually taught in the Clara Muhammad School and actually have a degree in early childhood development. And we will be, inshallah, inviting special guests to facilitate with us here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, trying to provide to you, our radio listeners, valued radio listeners, that is, as much information and education when it comes to parenting and teaching, educating our children, because this is the thing that obviously will help to turn around the family life and be more in accordance with the purpose for that sacred institution that Almighty God, Allah, has established. You know, I just want to say that the importance of questions in terms of self-search. You know, when we think about self-search, it actually, what it is that we actually search and search for ourselves as we are. As we have been socialized, the socialization, acculturation that we have experienced, Dr. Slaudin and I had an earlier conversation, and then just looking back, obviously, at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as his sirah, his life is an open book in how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually protected him. The devastation that many would have been confronted with and challenged with that could have altered their lives in terms of how they saw their lives, if it was worth living, maybe not understanding or realize that this life has a purpose, but he had a mission. He was actually born for the mission, and it didn't have a negative effect on what he ultimately would become, which is the finality, the seal, as it said in the Quran, the seal of the prophets and a universal messenger bringing the last of revelation to humanity, which is a universal message to all of humanity, not just only for where he resided, but this was a universal message. So he's seen as the universal messenger and the finality of the prophets, and not in need of any more prophets, as Allah has said that he was enough as a model, the Uswa, as a model for all of humanity. I think that it is so very, very important. So when we start talking about or communicating about the influence or the impact that our socialization, acculturation can actually have upon us in a negative way, Muhammad ibn Abdullah was exception to the rule. This is why it's so very important that Dr. Slaudin and myself, we, in addition to studying the Quran, make sure, as Imam Muhammad has instructed us to do, is to study the sirah. The sirah being the life of the prophet. The life of the prophet. By doing that, we'll have more of appreciation, more respect, and more love for Muhammad ibn Abdullah as the model example for all of human beings for all times. And this is so very important. You won't have that unless you study his life. And then you can see how Almighty God blessed him as a human being, maintaining, retaining his fitra, his original nature, and not allowing it to be stained in that regard, and became the perfect vessel for embodying the final revelation for all of human beings. You know, Dr. Patricia Saladin, I just had to say that. Allah put it on my heart and spirit to say that because it's so very, very important for us to know and realize, and for our young people, if they tune in now or later, or for their parents and for their grandparents and for their aunts and uncles and mentors that are actually listening in, they need to know, you understand, that they can rise above how they have been socialized in the culturation in terms of the social environment in which they come up in. Very, very important. And to know and understand what their purpose for being is, and we utilize the Quran for the guidance and the direction and the correction of us as parents, but also for our children. So vitally important. So last week, as you said, Dr. Patricia Slauzing, it was a very rich conversation, communication, and information that sometimes just comes forth from asking thought-provoking questions. And so in this search for self, we only got two questions. Number one, and Dr. Slauzing and myself, we're not in a hurry in regards to this, and we had excellent participation from our audience, and we hope to have that tonight. And so when this question is asked, we just want you to think about yourself either as a child in the socialization, acculturation that you experienced as a child growing up from your parents, and or it, you can look at it in terms of the socialization and acculturation that you provided in your house with your children, and how closely related did that have to do with how you were socialized when you were coming up. So this helps us to search for self, to find that self as to where we are. And it takes questions in terms of self-assessment and evaluation, if you will. So these questions are vitally important. Dr. Saladin and myself, we will provide some information, but this is an interactive workshop, and especially this part here in terms of the questions. So at this point, I said enough, Dr. Saladin, but I had to say those things I thought that was vitally important to set the stage for the question that you're about to ask from the Bashirs out of this publication, and perhaps other questions that we may entertain tonight. Back to you, Dr. Patricia Saladin.
Okay, thank you, Brother Mark. I'd like to ask if our guest is on, if she would please push button one? Yes.
Yeah,
if you would,
one.
Please. I'll know there's some numbers. I see numbers, but I'm not sure which one belongs to our guest.
It should be 816, and of course, when if our guest is there and she presses one, then it will show up in your queue in the form of a question mark. I think it will be green, and you will see the light is on, and somebody will have their hand up. But also for our guest, if you're listening and you're in the queue, Zakia Farkan, press one. And we're hoping that she will be with us, and if not, we always put the best construction around things. We pray that Allah, that she is well and the family is well, and all. And we say I mean to that. So,
amen.
Dr. Salon, if you don't see Sister Zakia Farkan in the queue, let's proceed with the next question that we have in terms of self-search. The child,
okay,
the search. Find ourselves here.
Yes, indeed. So the next question is, I felt that my parents were interested in me and that they took my personal affairs seriously despite their busy schedules. And then B, I felt that my parents did not pay much attention to my personal affairs. I often felt like my parents did not treat me as if I had a distinct personality from the rest of my siblings. And then C, I didn't get any attention at all from my parents. So thus A, B, and C.
Well, Dr. Slaudine, what I'm hearing here, and, you know, being a very attentive listener, I strive always to do that, and I'm hoping that radio listening audience is doing this also. It seems like, and you can have some say-so on this, it seems like the focus here in the question, the thought-provoking question that's being asked is centered on attention, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. attention in terms of what it is that we experience as children growing up in the social environment that we grew up in our family. So how are we looking at that? You know, Dr. Slaudine, the first one is seemingly coming from a social environment where a lot of attention was given. Am I correct on that?
Yes. Well, yes. If the parents were interested in me and that they took my personal affairs seriously,
okay.
despite their
yes.
busy schedules. So, yeah, they were interested
okay.
and paid attention to the child.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
okay. Yeah, so that's another feature. Now, another operative word here is interested. And
yes.
despite
yes.
the fact that they were actually busy, this shows the astuteness of a child, children. They, at some point, they become very consciously regardful and aware that their parents are really super busy, you know, getting to know something about their parents and what it is that they do, maybe say other obligations and responsibilities that they may have, but the interest was still there and there was attention that was given to them. If, in fact,
right.
this is A, so I'm going to ask the radio listening audience, and Dr. Slaudine and I are going to talk about it a little bit, and she will answer that question in regards to her. But Dr. Slaudine and myself, we would like to hear from you. Would A be something that you actually experience? And we ask that you press 1 if it was, you know, in that regard, and press 1 if you experienced that, whereas you know that your parents were busy people, but they still show the interest. It was not like they was neglectful of you. They was interested in what you were doing. And obviously this actually helps to promote a certain type of feeling when your parents are interested in you and they haven't forgotten you or they haven't abandoned you. There's a certain connection there. So press 1, if you would, please. And I'm going to just get 10 seconds here, and I'm counting already. And I'm at 5. And I'm at 10. Press 1. This is like a little mini survey. Did we get anybody that participated in terms of that? Could they identify with number 1 there? Anybody participate?
No, sir, not number 1, so I guess we'll move on to A.
Not number 1, okay. Well, let's try number 2,
oh, wait,
and then we're going to...
Hold it.
Oh, here we go.
We got
it. Okay, we got
one. We got an A, so...
we got one.
Said, yeah,
okay,
got
so what we'll do, what we like to do, if that person that pressed 1 in regards to that was the social environment that they experienced, I'm going to ask them if they would like to just make a brief comment. They can just say in general what it is they want to say, or they can specifically say how their parents showed that, and the other thing is how it made them feel. So that person that pressed 1, you don't have to, what we'd love for you to share here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, as it is your learning lab. So the one that pressed one, if you keep your hand up, and Dr. Salahuddin will open your mic so that you could share whatever you like to share in that social environment and experience. Did they stay in the queue? Can you open their mic up if they did?
Yes, the mic is open.
Okay.
810-810-308. Your mic is open.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Mark Shaheed and Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. This is the Preeta Hadi calling.
Alhamdulillah.
I jumped in here because, you know, you're taking us back now. And to the IWDM family, assalamu alaikum to everyone. Yes, hugs and love and everything.
Yeah.
But you're taking us back, you know, Brother Mark and Dr. Salahuddin, when we were coming up. And, you know, it's something that you would say that because I can recall. Now, I come from a pretty big family, you know, but my mom and my dad at this point, when I was in about the junior high school ages, you know, and I wanted to participate, and I thought it was really, really, it was exciting for me. I wanted to work at the school and learn, you know, about track. I wanted to stay and get involved with the track team after school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all excited about it and everything. But, you know, my mom, she said this. Well, she worked. She got home maybe about 6 o'clock in the evening or something. So
mm-hmm.
she said she wanted us, when we get out of school, she wanted us to come home. No,
straight
so,
home.
You know, and how did that make me feel? I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, I really had an interest in track,
mm-hmm.
and I was excited about it. My gym teacher, Ms. McGrackus, she was all excited and tell me about it, but I couldn't. I couldn't do it because my mom said she wanted us home. She said she didn't get off from work until the evening time, and she wanted to know that when we got out of school, like about 2:30 or 3 o'clock, she wanted us home. I was devastated, of course, but she had chores that she wanted us to do. She's the mom. And how did that impact me in raising my – but now when I had my children, it of course, that impacted me to the point that I just could not see. I could not put anything off on them to do if I were available for them, you know, in the afternoon. I only understood it because the mom worked. For me,
yes.
by the time my children, I had my children and things that they wanted to do. And matter of fact, they had 3 sons, and they wrestled and football and basketball and any sports or anything after school that they wanted to involve themselves with.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't there, then, of course, their dad would be there for them. But oftentimes, you know, I would be there, and I just said I would not. And I'm not feeling bad about my mom or anything, because she had that right to do that. But and not to say, ooh, if I could have stayed, maybe I would have did. No, I would not go down that road. Would have, could have, stood.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
But that did impact my parenting
yes.
style. Yeah,
yes.
myself.
No, you know, that's important. And you know, I want to thank you, the priest, Abdul Hadi, for actually coming on and actually sharing. You know, I'm thinking that others are listening. This question and the first of the choices, others can resonate with it, with that. Mm-hmm. But just by the mere fact that you came on and just shared that, but actually it had an impact upon you as you were as a parent, but you had already reconciled in your mind when you had your children, you had your family, you were going to take have a different mental attitude and disposition to really have an interest in what they had an interest actually in. And, you know, oftentimes we had parents that would say, you know, no. And sometimes they would give you a reason. And sometimes they wouldn't give you a reason. They'd be no. And you ask, well, why? Because I said so. So, you know, we've had those type of social experiences and social dynamics in our family. And this question is designed to see how it impacted you positively or negatively in your parenting skills, you know, in terms of when you were confronted with that, when your children had an interest, and what did you say, how did you communicate to them? Because actually, obviously, you brought how you felt when you was a child and you weren't allowed to be able to pursue those things that you was interested in. So thank you so much, you know, the priest of Hadi. We really appreciate you sharing that very valuable information, because we got two more. We got two more questions to go to, and maybe the next two, there'll be somebody out there that will resonate with them. This is what their socialization was about, and if in fact it impacted them. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you, and we want to just say that our beloved sister, the priest of Hadi, she's a very distinguished, esteemed host on our sister station, AM 360, each and every Saturday. Tune in for Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab. Starts at 6 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Central and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, and you can dial in on our sister station, 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Tune in. It's a great learning lab. There's a lot of valuable information that our sister Deprisa Abdul Hadi offers on our sister station, AM 360. Thank you so much, and if you care to press 1 again, feel free to do so. As you're muted, press 1 so you can go out the queue. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you. Assalamualaikum.
Walaikum assalam. So, Dr. Slaudine, you can mute her. Anybody else in the queue that want to have something to say in that first one? If not, let's move on to number 2 in this multiple choice. What is number 2 once again, Dr. Slaudine? Refresh our memory here in terms of the interest that the parent actually had and the attention that was given.
That would be
Dr. Slaudine, you may be on mute.
Yeah, I was. Sorry. B, I felt that my parents did not pay much attention to my personal affairs. I often felt like my parents did not treat me as if I had a distinct personality from the rest of my siblings.
Okay.
That would be
so,
the B part, the B of A.
Yeah. So they didn't pay much attention. If you had that social dynamic working in your life when you were a child, it's like your parents didn't pay much attention to your interests or what when you were coming up. If that was pretty much your socialization, please press 1. If you would, please, you could identify with that social dynamic. And how did that make you feel? It seemed like your parents wasn't really paying much attention to what was of interest to you. Press 1 if you would, and want to give like 10 seconds here. But you make your mind, just share with us and how it impacted you. And I'm right at 5 here. And I'm at 10. Press 1. Press 1 to say they could identify with that social dynamic in their life? Dr. Slaudine?
Nope. There's no one there.
There's no one there?
No one pressed. Oh, yes, one person We got a one. We have 773. Yes, 773-449.
Okay.
State your name, and I'm going to turn your mic on. There we go.
Okay,
your mic is on.
Like,
Alaykum as-salam.
I couldn't resist the opportunity to respond to this question because it is a question and an answer at the same time. And what I realize is that from a childhood to adulthood, we can have those empty emotions where we feel like we have not been given enough attention by our parents for whatever reason. Sometimes it could be where the mother can have more than one child. And try to spread her attention, you know, amongst show the equal amount of love, but it might not show up like that to the other children. So what one child or two children may find is them going through life feeling a sense of emptiness and searching for that sometime in the wrong places. It could be in relationships. It could be in a lot of different areas. And until they can identify with that emptiness, or some may say abandonment, they're feeling empty. They're feeling empty. And it just, one day, just may, like a show like this, somebody may just say something to awaken their consciousness and say, oh, my goodness, that's what I've been dealing with, and I just couldn't find the answer to it. And it came from, most of the time, childhood. Childhood. And we might not be able to identify it until we become adults.
Yes.
Here we are going through the different paradigms of life, not really understanding how we are fully operating. So it's like grabbing straws, you know, trying to find out which one fits well for me and my personality, so on and so forth. And sometimes it may come up like a missing. But if that's all that you know, that's all that you know until you find out really what you need to know, and it'll make a difference. So I just got an answer here tonight. And sometimes we have to go all the way back and come forward, you know, to get the different essence of what has taken place previously in our life and how when we come to the knowledge of it, of knowing better and doing better. So I just wanted to share that. I just couldn't missed this opportunity because it spoke so to my soul, you know, as an answer for me in my personal life. I just want to say thank you. Assalamualaikum.
Alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. But praise be to Allah. The praise and thanks belongs to Allah. But thank you so much because you really said a mouthful and everything. And we really appreciate you calling and sharing that with our radio listeners, as you go out to press 1 so we can keep the studio clear. Dr. Saladin, I want to go to you. We heard Amira call in and sharing what she shared. And I think one of the points that she actually brought up, you know, that it wasn't said in the book, but sometimes one of the reasons and it becomes a reason that some parents don't show much, seemingly don't show much interest, is that they're continuously having children, and it always has been, generally speaking, that the baby gets more attention. And of course, sometimes the baby needs more attention, depending on the age and the stage where the other children, the siblings are at that, but still the connect is very important. It's very important because they're still going through a stage where they should not feel an abandonment. And this actually can have a profound effect on the mental attitude and disposition, the self-esteem also included, in how they grow up and how they have experienced that social dynamic in terms of what type of parents that they would actually be. Could you give some type of insight on that, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, from your perspective?
From my perspective, what Sister Mira mentioned about things that happened in your childhood travels with you to your adulthood, and their effect on the impact that they have on you can be kind of in the background, but behind the scenes, but producing a behavior or a way of thinking that's affecting everything that you do or a lot of things that you do. So she has a very good point there. And one of the things that peeling it back, doing that self-search, is helping us, all of us, to look at those possibilities, those things that are in our lives that are caused by something happening as a child, or the way we were treated as a child. We can feel, there are a lot of feelings. I'm not a psychologist. I'm just a human being that.
Well, you sound like a psychologist.
No, I'm just a human being that's experienced what you're saying, that you help to identify the, it's like peeling that onion, the skin of the onion back, peeling it back, peeling it back, peeling it back until you get to the core. Aha. So this is the problem. And sometimes it's the feeling of abandonment, and that makes you act a certain way. Sometimes it's a feeling of pleasing because you're constantly trying to please your mother or your father or your, you know, someone in your life because they were you wanted their attention or you're trying to please them. So you become a pleaser, or you or you are you long for, your father's missing in the family, so you long for your father, and you're yearning for a father, so you're looking in other men for a father instead of a husband. You're looking for a father. So a lot of things happen. If we could just make sure that sometimes we don't even know it, you know, but if things keep going wrong all of the time, then there's something not right. So then you start searching. And this topic on self-search, we're talking about children, but we are children before we are parents. We are children before we're adults. And whatever happened to us as children will impact us as adults. And so Allah has given us this opportunity. He gives us people who know, and he gives us the Quran, and he gives us the life of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, for us to emulate and to study, not just emulate, but to study first, to study his life, and look at what things that he's doing and how he's doing it. And if our lives just can't seem to get on track, then we may need to do a little bit more searching to see and maybe go to find professionals to see if we can get ourselves back on track, because sometimes we can't even see the path because things are so cloudy. So I think this is a very good point that Sister Mira brought forth, and I appreciate her for sharing that with us. Thank you, Sister Mira.
Alhamdulillah, I thank her too for bringing it up and out, and the response that you gave, really very substantive information. I know you say you're not a psychologist, but actually, you know, sometimes if when you begin to start to study, like you say, studying the religion of Al-Islam by way of the Quran, and studying the life of the Prophet, it can actually help us to put our life in the right perspective. I mean, seriously, even if we didn't experience it, I think, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, that it becomes like a gauge or barometer, if you will, in terms of this is where, okay, I know I can see where I'm at, but the Quran will tell me where I should be. And the life example of the Prophet having demonstrated that, now, you understand, not only do I have the revelation, but I have the demonstration. And so, unfortunately, some of us are not privileged to have that social environment that's conducive to stimulating, cultivating, and activating what's in the original nature in terms of the cultivation of that. So we never really get the realization and really realize our full potential, if you will. All of this here is impacted in terms of what it is that the Creator has created. Obviously the potential is there, but it's raw, and it has to be nurtured and cultivated. As we say in our prelude every week, that this is part of the parenting process. Parenting is a process of nurturing and cultivating these vital components. And no blame on our parents. I believe personally, this is my personal opinion, that our parents did the best they could with what it is that they know. But did they know, and did they value all the vital components, and did they nurture and cultivate all the vital components that comprise the human being? You understand what it is that I'm saying in that regard? Because I actually, you know, when you know better, you really have to do better. And so you're not really held accountable so much for what you don't know. But when you do know, now you're held accountable for what you do know in that regard. And all of us didn't have that same socialization. That's my point. But I do believe overall, I believe as an ethnic group of people that most of our parents, they did the best they could. And, you know, speaking of large families, oftentimes the prioritization was food, clothing, and shelter. And the one that got the most attention was the youngest, you know. But that left that void. And nevertheless, it left a void that's there and that may have remained with the child growing up into from babyhood to childhood to adolescence into adulthood. And oftentimes it's seen and realized, but it's only realized actually when those type of questions can be brought up, like what we're having here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, which is self-search, and these questions that are asked. So, Dr. Saladin, do we have any other hands in the air? If not, we can probably get through that last one and, you know, the selection in terms of what it is that we experience in the social dynamic in terms of the interest of the parent and what it is that we were doing or that we experienced that or we didn't experience that. And I think the last one actually is the extreme in regards to that. So if you would repeat that again, that answer again to the question, let's see if we got, praise be to Allah, we had two hands go up. Maybe we get a third one, hit the jackpot tonight. Dr. Slaudy?
Yes, sir. I didn't get any attention at all from my parents.
I didn't get any attention at all from my parents. I can only imagine how that child must have felt. I didn't get any attention. Dr. Saladin, social science, we have this word called CAN. It's actually an acronym, but I think it's a very important acronym. The word CAN comprised of three letters, C-A-N. The C stands for all children. It doesn't matter where they are, female or male. They must have a sense of connection. The C stands for connection. The A stands for acceptance, and the N stands for nurturing. And so the opposite of connection would be abandon. The opposite of acceptance is rejection, and then the N can stand for abuse and abuse on different levels, not only in terms of physical abuse, oftentimes not intentional abuse, but nevertheless, it could be mental, emotional, and social, and ultimately expected, affecting the spirit of the child in that regard. So I never got any attention. So, you know, the acceptance is the attention that that child would get, but the opposite is rejection. Child didn't get any attention. So generally speaking, you will see, and as an educator, I'm quite sure you experienced this, Dr. Svalding, that you may have experienced children acting out. And so oftentimes for people who don't know, that's a bad child. But there is a reason why the child is acting out. And if you were to look a self-search in regards to the child, you see that child is coming from a large family. It's not getting attention. And so they become creative in terms of how they're going to get attention. And oftentimes it's not in the best way. Dr. Svalding, give us some insight in terms of how you see that, if you would, please.
Yeah, I can definitely identify with that one as a teacher.
yeah, quite sure you can.
Yes, there will be students who would seek your attention. They would, and it doesn't matter how they get it. It doesn't always.
By any means necessary.
Enemy is necessary. That's exactly the attitude. One incident I had with a young child who was in middle school, we were every day he would get a detention. And the detention, he would get something. He would do something that would earn him a detention. And detention means just saying after school. And so it means I had to stay after school with him every day. Because he would do whatever it was, he would do it to the degree that he would get a detention. So one day, after I think about a week of that, I said, wait a minute, something is wrong with this picture. So I asked him. And he said, because I want to stay after school.
Mm.
Now, I didn't go beyond that point because that meant that he needed to see the counselor. And, to work out that issue, that something was going on. Something was going on that he wanted to stay after school. Not getting attention at home or getting the wrong kind of attention at home. And sometimes the personality of the child, he wants attention. And so how that parent deals with that makes a difference in what the behavior would be, even when the child is in other settings. So all of this boils down to we as human beings, we all are so unique. We will have experiences. Allah will give us experiences, and those experiences will shape us. And those experiences will also keep us depending on Allah.
Yes, yes.
If we do that, if we see this as an opportunity to call on Allah, to seek Allah's help, then it will benefit us. But if we don't see it as an opportunity to call on Allah and to ask Allah for help and to depend on Allah for help, then
that's
we
right.
can go off in a different direction that's not beneficial to us.
Alhamdulillah.
But we're all different, and we all have this uniqueness about us, and that uniqueness comes from the experiences that God gave us.
Yes, alhamdulillah. So, you know, Dr. Patricia Slaughter, this has been very interesting, informative, Learning Lab tonight. We're right at the top of the hour, but the hour goes so fast, and I concur This is with all that, you said in closing the learning lab out, we can see that the absence of attention brought about detention in this case. But if we give the attention that each and every child needs, it can bring about the prevention of what can and will occur for the lack of giving the proper attention to our children. There's so much more to be said in regards to that. I do want to thank our radio listening audience for tuning in this first hour on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, especially those who pressed 1 and were participants in asking a question or providing us information in regards to their own personal experience in terms of that social dynamic, in terms of the socialization and acculturation in which they were raised up in terms of self-search, in terms of searching for yourself as you are, and the type of parenting skills that you displayed, the impact that it had upon you. And a special thanks goes to Dr. Patricia Slaudine for each and every week. It's a little premature there, but we thank her for sharing. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Patricia Slaudine. So inshallah, we look forward to you being with us next week on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we want to say to you to please, our radio listeners, stick and stay. Please don't stray away. The MGM Roundtable, that's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, is coming up next. So don't go nowhere. They can stay. This is a pause for the cause. And we're back, and I am Mark Shaheed, and we're in the MGM radio time here on IWDM Radio. And as always, I like to begin each production with Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I am the producer of the MGM Roundtable, which is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, and I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to our national and international audience here, the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give, and becomes an obligation not only on the giver of that greeting, but the recipient of that greeting of Assalamu Alaikum. And those of you who tune in each and every Wednesday to the MGM Roundtable, know I'd like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and we have guests outside of the community, and we always have topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less tonight, as I'm so very honored to have representatives of this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful held in Newark, New Jersey, the new home of the Muslim Journal. And I'm honored to have a very distinguished, esteemed guest. And I'm going to do a little roll call here. Hopefully, our beloved sister editor, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, she's scheduled to join us. Joan Najala, a very distinguished, the national chairperson for the Time to Be Grateful, she is scheduled to join us. Marsha Nivens, she is the committee chair for the workshops and the liaison for other committees for this year, 2023, Time to Be Grateful. And also a real honor to have the chair and the co-chair for the Muslim Young Adults Committee this year's Time to Be Grateful. Our beloved brother, Khaled Muhammad, the chair, and also Sadaka Mekki will be also joining us. She is the co-chair of the Muslim Young Adults Committee that will be participating in this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful. So I'm just going to, hopefully you press, all of you should press one. It should be in the queue, should be lit up. And I'm going to extend the greetings of peace to all of you. Assalamu alaikum and welcome. Assalamu alaikum. Press one. We should have five mics open. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Press one if you're invited guest, and my engineer will see you and he will open your mic. I'm going to extend the greetings one more time. So, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay, alhamdulillah. That sounds like that sounds like a panel and everything. Let's do a little roll call here just so I would know exactly who we have on, and then we're going to get the show on the road here. Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you loud and clear. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation. My dear sister, Joan Najala, are you with us?
Assalamu alaikum. I'm here.
Alaikum as-salam. It's so good to hear your voice, too, Joan. Marsha, Sister Marsha Nevis, are you with us?
Assalamualaikum. I'm here.
Well, alaikum as-salam, and it's good to hear your voice also. Mm-hmm. And Sadaka, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. I'm at work, but I'm here.
Alhamdulillah, it's good to hear your voice. And Khaled, are you with us?
I don't think he's going to get on. He said he wasn't feeling well, so I don't think
okay. Okay, well, you have to hold down the fort for the Muslim young adults, and I'm quite sure you're capable of doing that. So I want to start with you, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa. You know, I was thinking, what question would I ask her first and all? And Allah just inspired me to ask you this question. I know you're being kept abreast of everything that's happening and developing this year, the 2023, time to be grateful, in the new home of the Muslim Journal. I would like for you, if you would, just share with the radio listening audience in terms of how you're looking at this and just over the years how this has really just blossomed. And in your, I would just say, wide imagination, could you ever have imagined that it would come to this in the 21st century here for the time to be grateful? Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, once again, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the MGM Roundtable.
Well, alaikum assalam, Brother Mark. Thank you
excuse
so
me,
very much.
Rashid Salam, I need you to close your mic.
Again.
If there's no other mic that's open, we can hear the background noise. Just make sure your mic is closed and other mics are closed because it's interfering.
My mic is closed, Mark. If someone else is phone,
and I
want to
make sure I ask that if, in fact, that there is some noise in your background, keep your mic closed.
Hello.
So we have a clear broadcast, if you would, because this will be archived in the IWDM radio archives. Thank you. I'm sorry, Professor Aisha.
Praise be to Allah, Brother Mark. And we thank Allah that, you know, we have really come full circle. The very first time we moved out of Chicago with a time to be grateful, those first few years, we had the time to be grateful in Chicago at the Homewood Hotel, and it was tapped into Imam Muhammad's first Sunday weekends.
Yes.
Imam Muhammad would give the first Sunday, and we would do a time to be grateful on the Saturday. And then after the Imam Muhammad's passing, you know, people coming to Chicago wasn't a given. The pull to Chicago was the Imam. So when we looked at the Muslim Journal and to stay connected with the community, we decided that we would move out of Chicago with the events. And the first place we asked to go to, we asked Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad, the same one now, we asked him, can we come to you with the time to be grateful? And he said yes. And so the first time we moved out of Chicago with the dinner was at Masjid al-Haq, Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad. And Joan came on and worked on the committee. And other people worked on the committee. You know, the committee was local. It was newest committee. And we had such a turnout. Actually, Joan was witness. We actually oversold the event that first year. And the only thing that saved us is it was a blizzard. A blizzard. The blizzard was so bad until some people who were coming to the dinner couldn't get in because, you know, in that area, a lot of people drive. They couldn't get in.
Right.
And so it literally kept the number down, but it kept the number down to what we could manage. And then Congressman Payne was the father, Congressman Payne, was the congressman. And in that blizzard, he drove from D.C. back to Newark so he could be at that dinner.
Right.
To this day, we won't throw any numbers out there, but to this day, Newark was the number one income generator of all the dinners so far. And we credit part of that to Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad because he is tight-fisted on money. And he won't let you overspend. And so we brought in a good return on our investment because he wouldn't let it. He wouldn't let you overspend, you know. And then he gave all the money from that year. He gave all the money back to the Muslim Journal. Usually we do a partnership from place to place. We do a partnership.
Yes.
But that first year, with his team, Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad gave all the proceeds from that year back to the Muslim Journal.
Yeah.
And he stayed on our minds, and we thanked him very much. And people would have an opportunity to call him. And then Sister Latifa Wangara went to some of his events in Newark. And he has been consistent. Over the 20 years with the Muslim Journal, he has been absolutely consistent. And we're glad to be back home.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know what? I'm not surprised, and I'm glad that you gave that backdrop on the humble beginning, but obviously it's such a memorable beginning and cherished, and it goes down in annals of history for our community in terms of Newark, Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad in the very beginning in his early years and the welcoming, and actually in terms of what he actually did. All of this here should be brought up and brought out for our community to know. Any good that's in the community, Imam Muhammad said that we should recognize that good. So thank you so much for that information, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa. We're glad that you're able to join us tonight. We'll go to my dear sister and friend, the National Chair, Joan. Najla, welcome. You can tell that she's been working because this is the first time we've been able to get her on here on the MGM Roundtable here on IWDM Radio. I want to know from you, I mean, the years that you worked with the Muslim Journal and been the national chair, your thoughts and your feelings that each and every year, it seems to me to be an upgrade, constantly the growth and the development. The evolving of the Muslim Journal's time to be grateful and everything, and looking at what is transpiring, this to me is historic. Talk to us a few minutes, if you would, Joan, in terms of being the national chair and actually the communication that you have with the various committees, the cities that have been selected, and the work that they put in. How are you ingesting all of this here for 2023? Time to be great because I know I'm already excited here. Talk to us, Joan. Welcome to the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, and welcome the audience. I am glad to be a guest on, and I just want to say each year, it's been different and it has its own characteristics. But I'm going to talk about this year because this year is back in Newark. And Newark has that reputation of being a concentrated area of Muslims. And we really do things where we actually all come together. So this year was different is that we're collaborating more with the youth and the young adults. We're bringing that back. I worked with a strategic team. Marsha is one, Brother Bilal, Hassan, Mutadeen Muhammad, Vicky Abdul Salam, myself, and we built an infrastructure of planning committees, which are doing a fantastic job. There is so much again that is planned and that will be implemented to make this time to be grateful another wonderful experience. But look forward to the youth this year and the young adults. They are participating in all levels. And I'm so glad that you have them as your guests, because there's another brother, Bilal Walker, who may get in, and he wants to talk as well. So we have a good core team, and we're planning, and each year there's something different. But what we're going to do when we finish this year, we're going to have a model template that we carry on to next year. so we don't reinvent this. But it is a time to be grateful, and I think everyone looks forward to this for so many reasons. And it is a reflection on a time to be grateful. There's so many reasons, because there's so much that you can get from this time to be grateful, from the workshops, through the entertainment, to the culture, to the spiritual development. It's just a one-stop shop, and it's a network of Muslims coming together. And it's an opportunity, as everyone should understand, it is a subscription drive. It's a subscription drive. So don't forget that it's a subscription drive, and it's major exposure for the Muslim Journal. So invite your friends, your neighbors, and everyone else to come. And it's just a wonderful experience. I've been involved since 2009, and each year it's been an experience that I can't forget.
Alhamdulillah, so very well said, Joan, and I echo everything that you said. You're right on point. And we may not really realize it, but this is historic, you know, what is being done. And I want to also say that it has been the most well-attended entity that we now have in the Association of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. This is so very, very important that we know and realize, and it's just so much in terms of the benefits of this. And we have heard the history, the beginning of this. Professor Aisha K. Mustafa have enlightened us, and this was Quranic base too. And we also, you know, whenever we go to the Quran, it's a base and foundation for whatever it is that we do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, He blesses those that have good intention, and how it just rallies the community, unifies the community. The enthusiasm in all that's expressed in the community, they want to be at the time to be grateful. And boy, this year, it's loaded. So we want to move on down the road here with our sister Marsha Nivens, who is the chairperson for the workshop and liaison with other committees and everything. I want to welcome you back here to the IWDM Radio and the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome back, Marsha.
Wa alaikum assalam. It's good to be back. Thank you for having us and giving us this opportunity to talk about our time to be grateful and get everyone excited for what is to come. I know you've been pressing for the details on the workshops. I know I didn't have it too much for you last time, and so I'll give you some stuff today, but it will just be a teaser.
Okay. See, you know, I don't know what is it about the ATTBG. You all are giving little teasers and everything, because, well, that's good, you know, and all, but each year it gets bigger and bigger and better, and the evolving what is being done. I'm just really elated and excited, as I know many of the believers in the community, as Professor Aisha has said, in terms of there is high concentration of Muslims in that New Jersey area, even in that tri-state there, there in the Northeast, and all, and there'll be others that I know are looking forward, coming from other parts of the country. It should be a grand affair. And so, Marsha, you know, you had the task in terms of putting together primarily the workshops that will be happening, how they're going to be happening. This is something that is being introduced as somewhat different than recent past years and all. Talk to us a little bit. You know, you say you're going to give us a teaser. I like to call it an appetizer.
Okay.
Talk to us about the appetizer. You ain't going to give us much, but enough to wet our whistle and all. So just in case, we got some people out there might still be on the fence and everything, and maybe just what it is that you might say and what has already been formed and maybe still being formed as we speak. Give that appetizer to our radio listening audience once again. Marcia?
Absolutely. So the workshops have been my labor of love for these past few months. I tell you, having or hosting or facilitating a workshop at a time to be grateful is a hot commodity, okay? We have, you know, everyone wants to be center stage as it relates to presenting a workshop at a time to be grateful. And it's to the point that you said earlier that this has become the event, the largest event that we sort of gather for as a community now. And so, you know, you want to be in front of your people giving the valuable information that you want them to hear. And so what I will say about the workshops that are planned is that I feel like we were very intentional about making the workshops comprehensive, but also making sure that the Muslim Journal was at the forefront of what's being presented. And so there are some workshops that are primarily like focused on the Muslim Journal and the work of the journal and the support of the journal, so that we don't lose sight about the fact that A Time to Be Grateful is
yes.
for the benefit of the Muslim Journal.
Yes.
As we all know, and if you don't know, the theme for this year is Words Make People. And so there's going to be a workshop where we get to talk about words make people and making every word count. And so I won't get into too much of what that'll cover, but we want to make sure that that's at the forefront so that we don't lose sight of the fact that this publication has been in our community for many, many years, and it deserves the attention and it deserves the support and it deserves to be at center stage so that people do know what is being planned in the background as it relates to the Muslim Journal.
You know, that's so very well said. I mean, you really, you know, very thoughtfully said in terms of the focus is on the Muslim Journal, and I'm thinking that there's more than one workshop, and even that was my next question while I got you here in terms of the theme mm-hmm. for this year. It is about words make people. Sounds familiar in terms of when we first heard that. The focus also, could it be said, in terms of education also is a focus in regards to that. So the diversity of the workshops, if you could just part of what you call teaser, I call appetizer, if you will, for those who haven't heard, and this has been a evolving of the Muslim Journal, but also the time to be grateful, because I remember a time when there was that wasn't a part of the time to be grateful, but the evolution of this and really the work behind the scenes to put this together, and as the national chair, Joan Nigella, has said, the infusion, I think, very important of our young adults. I am so excited about that. I think that that's worth the price of admission and coming to this year's 2023, especially for those pioneers that are really concerned about the state of this community. I think is that the Muslim Journal and the Time of Be Grateful is taking a real big step in the infusion of our young adults, and we'll be getting to their representative in just a few minutes here. But speak to us about that, Marcia. How important is that? And the theme here, just talk about what is it that we can expect when we come, especially on Saturday, where most of the workshops will be done, if you would, please.
Absolutely. And so, as I said, Words Make People is sort of the overarching theme, right? So we will focus on the journal, and you'll get to hear about the app that's coming down the pike and the marketing plan and the future of the journal, right? But then the second half of that theme says enhancing literacy and culture for future generations. So you will also have access to workshops that talk about your physical health. We'll be talking about culture. We'll have a workshop that's centered around young adult leadership, and that speaks to the point that you were just making about the concern for the future of our community. We're going to have a workshop that allows us to have some conversation about young adult leadership and how that works towards helping us get to the trajectory that we're trying to get to in this community and giving our young adults a platform to lead. There'll be some business opportunities that are available from the workshops as well. And we'll talk about family and community development. That's been a hot topic just in general, right, as we talk about the future of our community and keeping the main thing, so to speak, right? And so we want to be able to have that be center stage as well, so that we're talking about, you know, how we're developing our families and our communities to create this environment that sustains us and gives us longevity, because those are the things that we're thinking about. And then education. We that's also been something that's been a hot topic in this community across the board is, you know, are we and how are we establishing educational institutions and sustaining thriving institutions? We're going to have a workshop that brings that focus to the forefront as well, so that we're having these meaningful conversations that we can take back to our local communities and really build something out that's going to be sustainable, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, very well said. So if that don't whet your appetite, I don't know what will. Before we get to our last honored guest, we got to take a pause for the calls. And when we come back, we're going to hear from the co-chair of the Muslim Young Adults Committee and their part in this year, 2023, Time to Be Grateful, our beloved sister Sadika Mekki. So we're going to ask you, if you would, please, stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We'll be right back after this pause for the calls.
Covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything more? I know sometimes things don't go right.
matter how hard you might try, seemingly you just can't win the fight. People talk about the way you dress, Lord knows they talk about you, but to the Muslim brother you are a flower in the early morning dew, oh, covered all over. Wrapped in God's love, covered all over. A woman truly worthy of, covered all over. From head to toe, dressed by God above. Who could ask for anything more out of all the women? You're the only one in place. Out of all the women in this whole wide world, you're the only one to bring a smile to the master's face. On the judgment day, I'm sure he'll say, into the garden, my flower, I prepared it for you this day. You were strong, you held on tightly to me. Yes, you did, yes, you did. So I wrapped you up in my words and wisdom, yeah, and made you a light for the whole of humanity. Covered all over, wrapped in God's love.
Mm-hmm. And we're back, and I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host of the MGM Roundtable, heard each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. And I want to thank Rashid Salam for that selection. We have a very distinguished guest, all Muslimas, tonight, playing a key role in this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful. And I want to say to our radio listening audience, if you just tune in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And we have representatives from this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to make, any of the information that's being disseminated tonight, feel free to press 1. To our panel, you may have a question for one of the panelists or for all the panelists, but press 1. Don't wait till the last minute to ask your question or make your comment. You can press 1 now. I want to get back to you, my dear Sadaka Mekki, in terms of the role that you all will be playing in this year, 2023, Time to Be Grateful, and being the co-chair of the Muslim Young Adults. You all have a key role in just about everything that will be happening. And, you know, it's something that's a little unique this year, one of the new addendums that it starts one day early. That I've noticed beginning on Thursday and all, I would like to just kind of go day by day with you for this four-day event, and I want to extend the greetings of peace to you, first time here on IWDM Radio and on the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, Sadaka.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you?
I'm still doing. I ain't done yet. Praise be to Allah. It's an honor to. It's an honor to actually have you on. I'm thankful to John Najala and Masha for making sure that we had representation. It wouldn't have been you know, the best thing not to let our radio listening audience know that you all will be a key component this year in the 2023, time to be grateful in everything that will be taking place. So please, let's start on Thursday, if you would, Sonica. What is it that the young adult Muslims will be doing starting on Thursday? This is, I want to say the radio listeners, and we'll talk about this a little bit more with the national chair and Marsha specifically. But what will you be doing? And what contribution will you all be making? Because we want to make an appeal to the young adult Muslims to be there also. Talk to us, if you would, a few minutes in regards to Thursday, and then we're going to look at Friday. We'll look at Saturday and all. And welcome again. Assalamu alaikum.
So first, I want to say thank you to the Muslim Journal, Sister Aisha, and Sister Joan for letting us on this platform. We're very excited. This is something that has been spoken about for years. The young adults need to step up. So we're here now. So we just want to thank y'all for trusting us. So we have a lot of stuff brewing. I don't want to tell you everything. I don't want to spoil
okay.
you.
Well, just tell us what you want us to know. Give us an appetizer following us, Sister Marsha. You can give us an appetizer.
Well, one big event we're having on Thursday night is a sneaker ball. We're very excited about that. The trend now, the style now is sneakers. So we just want to have fun and be amongst our own peers, you know, get to know one each other and just have a good time the halal way.
Okay. Okay. Now, this is the sneakers ball, and this
yes.
is exclusively for the young adults. Could you, Sonica, can you just say what that age range is, you know, if we have young adults out there listening and everything, the sneakers ball, that you will be wearing sneakers, and it's all this seem like you're going to be having fun, and you did emphasize it will be halal. So
yes.
What time is scheduled on Thursday?
It's 9 to 11. It's 9 to 11, and what was the other question? I'm sorry.
Okay, so it's 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. That's Thursday,
yes.
Thursday night, correct?
Yes, yes.
And but what age range are we looking at?
Oh.
When we talk about 18
to 40.
18 to what?
40.
Oh, 18 to 40. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Alhamdulillah. So everybody 18 to 40 is invited. So that means
yeah.
I won't be. Okay.
I mean, you can stop me. You can put us on the radio. You can put us on the radio.
Put you on the radio. Okay. Okay. That sounds like something that could be possible. It could happen. This is a new event by Muslim young adults and all. It's called Sneakers Ball. This is the first time in terms of that halal event for those 18 to 40. Okay.
Yeah.
So Friday, what are we looking at on Friday? Sound like,
Friday we're having a bean pie. It's called paint and pie. We're going to paint and have some bean pie competition.
Mm.
So we're going to have different bean pies from Jersey, and
they're
going to be in a contest, and we're going to vote on whose pie tastes the best.
So this is P&P, you all out
yes,
there. This is something new. It's called Paint and Pies, and there's going to be a bean pie contest. So where the bean pie is going to come from, Sonica? And I'm quite sure you need somebody to be a sampler. Yeah. And all.
Yes. Yes, we're looking for volunteers to sample the pie. The pies will come from different bakers within the East Coast. Inshallah, if we can get some pies from the West Coast, from different states, that would be nice too. I can't give you all the tea, man. I cannot give you all the tea.
How can you do what?
I cannot give you all the tea. I can't give you.
Oh, you
all
can't
the
give it all. Okay, okay. Well, that's fine. well, you know, I'm gonna ask you. You know, will there actually be some type of prize or something like first, second place or something of that nature? Can you give us any information?
The committee. Yeah, the committee, we spoke about it. We're working on it. We're coming to a consensus of what exactly we want it to be. We have, like, three suggestions on paper. So we just have to think of one, come up with one. And that's what it'll be. But there will be a prize, first, second, and third place.
Okay,
and there will be something
okay.
for the volunteers. We will have something for the volunteers.
Yeah, so Sonica, who's going to be the samplers? Has that been decided? Will it be your committee or what that's going to actually be the samplers and make that big decision, the best bean pie?
We haven't come up with that 100% yet.
Okay.
Some of us on the committee will be tasting. We are asking for volunteers, but we're not 100% with that yet. It's in the making, though. We're like 50%, 75%.
Okay. Well, I've been eating bean pies for a long time. I think I'm a connoisseur in terms of good bean pies. We've been spoiled here in the STL, having one of the best bean pie makers. And even Imam Warthi Muhammad said that himself. But we want to keep moving with this. Now, the paint, that's pretty amusing there. What's going on with the painting? What will you be painting, a canvas painting or what?
Yeah, it's a canvas painting. We were speaking about doing a lot of people, they don't know how to write their names in Arabic, so we were thinking about doing that on a canvas in calligraphy. Have somebody write the name out in Arabic and they could paint it. Or we can do, I know for myself, I like to paint. It's a newfound hobby of mine. If I can't, we might do a freestyle. Like if we can't find a theme or anything, you could just paint whatever comes to your mind and we could each present it at the end. If there's enough time, we all could present our painting and speak a little bit about it, why we paint it, what we paint it. Different suggestions.
Okay. So now, when did this take place on Friday? What time will that
be
scheduled?
This will be 3 o'clock after Jumu'ah, right before the culture night. So after Jumu'ah, it'll give people time to unwind, relax, chill a little bit before culture night starts. For those who might be coming in Friday, because everybody might not come in Thursday, some people might come in Friday, right before they check in, you know, give them something to do.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Oh, that's going to be very, very interesting. That's called P&P. That's painting and painting, and also pies. There actually would be a bean pie contest to see which one has baked the best bean pie, and they have said that there will be some type of prize that will be given first, I guess, second and third place. So you definitely want to be there and all. And you mentioned culture night, and I'm very familiar with the chairperson, happened to be a good friend, a sister and friend of mine, Sawar El Amin, was able to get her on. She doesn't do interviews. She's the queen of soul here in our community because her music really touches the soul in the right way. She is the chairperson. And she also mentioned to me here on the MGM Roundtable that it would be an infusion of our young adults in this year, Time to Be Grateful. So what contribution? Can you share anything with us in regards to that? Will you be doing
One of our committee members, she's performing. Her name is Faja Kegler. She's performing.
Mm-hmm.
She does poetry.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
Very exciting. I'm very excited to hear her, work.
And I'm thinking there may be others from the Muslim young adults that also will be involved in this 2023 culture. I call it an extravaganza, you know, from what Sawa El Amin conveyed to me when I interviewed her here on IWDM Radio, that it's going to be an extravaganza. And I know anything that Sawa El Amin is involved with, look out. It's going to be something that you really want to experience in terms of the diversity that we're expecting for this year's 2023, time to be grateful. So we look at Saturday now. So what's happening Saturday? Will you all be involved in any of the workshops that Marcia have just given us a little appetizer in terms of the various workshops? Will you all be involved in that?
Yes, about 3 people from our committee will be on the workshop panel. Myself, Khalid, and I believe Brother Bilal Walker, I believe, is on one of the panels as well. Very excited about that. I don't really speak
so
out like that. So.
Yes, ma'am. So in terms of have you got your assignment as to what workshop you'll be participating in as of yet?
I believe mental health.
Mental health. Oh, wow. That is going to be an interesting workshop, to say the least. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Well, thank you so much. We'll come back to you. I want to go back to you, Professor Aisha Mustafa. You know, when I'm noticing this year so many addendums, and one of the things I really love so much is the infusion of our young adults, and you've been saying it for years, you know, the request, the requisition of our young adults to actually be involved. I have this saying, for our young people to evolve, they must be involved. And the time, grateful this year, I think has made a concerted effort to really include our young adults and be a vital part of that, because one day, we would be looking forward to them to continue this time to be grateful as we get older and they continue to move up and continue this effort that has started a few years back. Talk to us a minute or two about, I think, the excitement that we all should have in terms of the inclusion of our young adults this year and the contributions they'll be making. Aisha?
Hey, Marky.
Yes,
Marky,
yes,
you,
yes,
say, you have 5 mics open. You have another mic open that you have. You have 5 mics open, so somebody else is on the line that you haven't talked to.
Oh, okay. So we
have Brother Bilal Walker on. He's one of
Brother
the
Bilal.
Young adult. Yes, Brother Bilal Walker. He's one of the young adult committee members. So he was able to join us this evening.
Okay, Professor Aisha, I want to give a Brother Bilal Walker opportunity to say something.
Yes, sir.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Bilal.
Walaikum salam, can you hear me?
No, we can't hear you. You need to get closer to your mic. I need you to elevate your voice. Imagine you talking to 1,000 people without a mic.
As-salamu alaykum, everyone. I hope you all are well this afternoon or evening. My name is Bilal Walker. I'm here as a representative of the Youth Committee for A Time to Be Grateful 2023, inshallah. Also, am a member of the Unified E Committee and represent the Youth Investment Council for the City of Newark. Also, educator here in the city. It's great to be here and to connect with everyone.
Alhamdulillah, and welcome, Brother Bilal Walker. to IWDM and the MGM Roundtable. You know, you said a couple of few things there. I would like for you to take a couple of few minutes, if you would, and just talk about your participation in this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful. What is that we can be looking forward to this year in terms of your contribution? Brother Black.
Oh, wow. Inshallah, I want to be a participant for sure. Alhamdulillah, I plan to attend with my family and enjoy all of the events that are being organized specifically for the youth and for just the broader community. I think it's in high regard that we should continue to produce things for us and by us. A lot of my interest really is around research and just connecting with people and building meaningful relationships with people from across the country, people that may be local that you don't even get a chance to work with. But in my capacity for this year's programming, just assisting with logistics and some of the ideas for the different events that have occurred or will be occurring, I should say, that we've been planning out. Confirmed for some speaking opportunities. Some of my interest will probably be around family dynamics and also education. I work closely with young adults and children and families, and I've been doing so for 8 years. So I'm really passionate about speaking to community members about the importance of family and maintaining strong family ties.
I will say that's a big alhamdulillah, and for those who don't know, that means the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost, and we thank Allah for persons like you as Muslim young adults and having that interest, because you just really have focused on one of the most important entities, the sacred institution of family life, which Allah has established. And so I'm definitely looking forward. And let me ask you why I got you here, Brother Walker. Will you be participating in one of the workshops? I think I heard that there would be a workshop in regards to family. Would you be one of the panelists in regards to that?
I do believe I am. I do believe.
Okay.
That's,
well, we're gonna get back
to
Sister Marsha. She has all the answers, in regards to that. So, just in hearing you speak about that, and the passion that you have in the study, in the interest, and all, I hope and pray that you are a part of that, because I can just hear in your voice you do have something to say about this sacred institution. I always refer. Two, it's a sacred institution on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that I host here because Almighty God, Allah, has established that. That's in the Quran. It's a sacred institution. And what it is that we really have to do to reconstruct the destructive family life. So thank you so much, for joining us.
Thank you, family.
Yes, sir. You are most certainly welcome. We're going to move down the road here. Professor Aisha, you heard the question. Hopefully you still got it in mind in terms of what I'm asking you, because I'm thinking this is coming full circle in terms of actually the inclusion and fusion of our young Muslim adults in terms of the participation. I've been to conventions and conferences and all. This is the first time that I can actually say that it's being constructed this way. And I think there's a lot of thought that have gone into this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful in terms of infusing our young people, because they're going to be the ones. They should have the baton now. They are the present. They are the present, and they are present to us as a gift to us. And so why wait? Talk to us, Professor Aisha, in regards to your insight in terms of this year, how it's being constructed, if you would, please. Aisha?
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. And you are right. This is a full circle moment. You know, Joan Najila became Muslim at 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
14, Aisha, 14. 14, okay, 14. I became Muslim at 24. And we were the only Muslims in our household, which meant we basically went against the grain. And then we met other Muslims who had come in at that age. And so reflecting back on the time when we really had to make decisions for ourselves, even though people thought we were still kind of young and wanted to help us change our minds, being present is number one. These young people who are being present, that's about 50% of the game. And as we're in now into this full circle, we're at the point of succession planning.
Yes.
And seeing who's in place to fulfill those roles that will protect and go forward with the sacrifices that people have made for the past 50, 60, depending on where you start in years. We want to pass on to people who we know are going to protect that interest, not my interest, but that interest of this community. And being in Newark, you have a groundswell of people who paid into this paper with their blood, sweat, and tears. That area was the area that had the most FOI salesmen of the Muhammad speech and Muslim Journal. And, you know, the quota was for everybody was 300 papers a week. The Newark area,
yes, ma'am,
some other areas too, but Newark had a concentration of the brothers saying, oh, I'll do 1,000 a week. And then they had a competition with each other on Thursday, Jones, we have a reception for those people who were salespeople to respect them and give them one last celebration of what they contributed to making this paper possible.
Yes.
We also want to make sure that these young people are available to think in the context of journalism, one of the most important professions we have in a democracy is journalism.
Yes.
Journalists actually have an oath in and of themselves. And one of the oaths is, I'm telling the truth. They have to take an oath. Just like a doctor takes an oath not to harm, do no harm. The journalist is supposed to take an oath. I'm telling the truth.
Yes.
And then they're supposed to go out and represent everybody else. So out of this pool of young people who step forward now, we want to continue to nourish them and expose to them what makes the Muslim Journal important in the context of not only our community but our American society, because everywhere Muslims are don't have a free press. They can't
stand
up and tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They can't write what they their own opinions. They can't go in front of their leaders and question them on how they're treating their constituents. But here we have that opportunity, and we should pick it up as a responsibility and cherish it as Muslims, because all Muslims don't have a free press. So we're looking forward to this time.
Yes.
And the rest of us will stand back and say, we remember when. I remember when I said I'm an MGT sister.
Yes.
And she gave me my orders and told me what I needed to be doing, and she gave me the history of the community. And our brothers who remember, they said under lieutenants and captains and paper noodle. They had Muhammad's Peace had paper captains.
Oh yeah.
Like Kaiser Mahmoud when he was 20 something years old. All these old folks now, we have to remember that they used to be young. they didn't just get old overnight. Everybody you see used to be 20. So we're willing, ready, and waiting for our succession team to have a succession progress in order and to pray to Allah that they would carry it further than we can.
Alhamdulillah, you know, praise be to Allah. Thanks and praise go to Allah first and foremost. Professor Aisha, very well said. And this is what I have to say. This is the vision and the mission of our scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Warfi Muhammad. And I like that phrase, a succession team. This is wisdom. This is wisdom, a succession team. We know that we're not going to always have a physical presence, which is so very important. How are we shaping and forming those, you understand, of our youth that now have become young adults in the preparation for leadership? This is so very important. That what it is that you said, and hopefully many of them will be interested in journalism, because how important is that to have your own newspaper? You can't have a model community without having your own newspaper where your principles, where your values and everything, where your opinion, your thoughts can go into things that actually are happening in the world today, as we see those things happening in the world today. Very, very important. I'm coming to you now, Joan Najala. You know, I know you've been very, very instrumental in terms of national chair and some of the duties and responsibilities and working with the various cities and the local committees that actually have to really work hard in your influence in terms of our young people and all. I have to feel that you're really, really elated and excited about this year. And how much went into this in terms of actually finding and locating these young Muslim adults that want to? And I hear the passion and the two representatives that we have on. Joan, if you could take a few minutes and talk about that, as Aisha have already started this, in terms of the importance of a succession team. Talk to us for a few minutes, if you would, in terms of how important that is, and then the willingness of young Muslim adults to want to do this and to let them know that this will be put in your hands, and we're really looking and counting on you to continue this work effort. Joan?
Yes, thank you. Well, I'm going to echo Sister Professor Aisha. The presence of them here is what is the first thought. And I'm going to say this year, and not like any other year, Sister Aisha and I and been talking about the legacy and of the Muslim Journal, and the legacy is standard for these years for people who volunteered, contributed, and gave their blood, sweat, and tears. And so this year, that was my conversation with some of the young adults. And it was a process that we came to because I got the chance to hear some of their points. There's an intergeneration conversation that needs to happen. They do have some ideas, but however, what's important is there's a legacy that's built, as Aisha, I'm echoing Sister Aisha Mustafa, that they can walk into, and it's already built. It's already established. And the communication vehicle is powerful. So I am happy for the representation of this youth committee. They are working diligently, and I hope they continue, because Sister Aisha is going to see whether or not we can reinstitute something that Sister Anissa Dewan came up with. It's called the Muslim Journal Ambassadors, where you do outreach,
where you represent the Muslim Journal 24/7, not just during a time to be grateful. You represent them. You can do video reporting. You can do reporting on different levels, but we know that there's room for the young adults to get involved. And like you, you listen to Brother Bilal. He is already a family man and all. So we waiting for him to step on in and come with his ideas. Khalid, Salika, they all have a lot of good energy, a lot of good ideas, and they remind me somewhat of me back in the day, because they want to be heard and they want us to hear them. So we're going to have a workshop on Friday morning where we talk about the future of Muslim Journal, and they're going to get a chance to maybe express some of their ideas. But we know that comes with work and representation. Yes. That don't come with you just making the words. So tell you, I am pleased. I think a lot much of the progress and the representation of the young adults here. I am definitely looking forward to working with them more.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. And may Allah continue to bless you and the effort and influence that you and Aisha have had in terms of helping this become a reality for our community. I want to go to Rashid Asalam, our engineer. If those of you have any questions or comments, this is your time to press 1. As I continue to go down the line, I never run out of questions, but our panelists are doing an excellent, excellent job in disseminating the information that you really need, and hopefully there's nobody out there that's sitting on the fence that is deliberating, procrastinating in regards to whether they should be there. If you can be there, if you can be there, you should be there. And if you can't, think of a way where you can do some sponsorship and all. I know that's being accepted, and we're going to get a little information in regards to that. This is the biggest fundraiser for the Muslim Journal annually. And so even if you can't be there, then you can make a donation or something. Allah wa alam, he's the best knower. It's best if you can't be there, so you don't hear things second-handed. You know, you should have been there, and this and everything. You want to experience this for yourself. I guarantee you, I know some Muslims that last year in Washington, D.C. was their first time, and the conversation, they won't miss another time to be grateful. They began to start preparing for it immediately after last year. And this is what the Muslim Journal does each and every year. The process begins immediately, and you'll find out next year. Aisha may already know. You know, she keeps it a guarded secret where they'll be looking at going next year. Rashid Salam, are there any hands in the air at this time?
At this point, Mark, there are no hands, but I do have a question about potentially and possibly having some type of audiovisual concept in place.
Okay, that's a good question. Marsha or Joan, do you want to answer that question at this point?
We can't tell you all the tea. We just have to wait on that.
And you know what? I agree. I agree. I don't blame them for answering this, because I know our people. I know our people. You know, sometimes we just have to put forth the effort to be present. There's a certain camaraderie, and I know that a few, but about 2 or 3 years ago, in Atlanta, and I know Professor Aisha puts an asterisk by it, I think it couldn't have been a better city to host the first virtual Time to Be Grateful. No better place than Atlanta, Georgia, where we have a high concentration of Muslims there. But this was not ideal, because Allah created us to be social beings. This is the Quran. This is what Imam Muhammad has taught us. So you miss that. You miss hugging that brother, that sister, and greeting them and sitting down and talking with the camaraderie, you understand, you can't experience that, you know, unless you're actually there. And a lot of believers walk away with that each and every year, you know, Rashid. So any one of you, if you want to chime in on that, you feel free to do so. But I do want to get to Sister Marsha once again. I want to bring up this here because I know you couldn't tell everything, but I think this is a special, special thing. I would like for you to speak to for a couple of minutes, if you would. Also, at this year's 2023, time to be grateful, my good brother and friend, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, they would actually have a graduation. Yes, a graduation that is going to be happening at this year, 2023, time to be grateful, as they started a pilot program in terms of developing leaders and leadership in our community. Sounds familiar? So that's going to be happening. Sister Marsha, can you just say a little something about that? I think that's a really unique feature that's going to be happening at this year, 2023, time to be grateful. And it's really in accordance to the theme this year, Words Make People, in terms of literacy and education, and what the ATTBG is actually doing, and actually those persons that have been on this two-year course, I've had them here on the MGM Roundtable, and they are outstanding. These are the future leaders in our community. Take a couple of minutes, if you will, to talk about this feature in the 2023 time to be grateful. Marsha.
Absolutely. So on Saturday afternoon, there is going to be an opportunity for the students of the Islamic Leadership Training and Development Program to celebrate their accomplishments. And completing that program, they will have a graduation that is going to be a part of the a time to be grateful experience. And so that is definitely something new that we haven't seen before at a time to be grateful. But it's also like, what better place to be able to have that on display? You were just talking about a time to be grateful and that being an opportunity for us to be together in the flesh. And as you were describing that, I was thinking about, you know, think about how good it makes you feel to be in a room of people who look like you and, you know, do the things you do, and to see them in their most excellent mode and how that makes you feel. And so this graduation is just another opportunity to experience that at a time to be grateful. So if you haven't decided that you're already coming to a time to be grateful, this is just another thing to get you to come, because, you know, in our everyday lives, many of us are not in environments where we're seeing each other and doing business with each other and working with each other and socializing with each other. And we get to do that during this weekend, and we get to see the best of us. And it just does something for your spirit to be in that mood for that period of time. So if you haven't decided to come, make sure that you figure it out soon. Scrape up the coins and make sure that you get to New Jersey for a time to be grateful, because not only will you be amongst those who are going to be celebrating their graduation, but you're going to be able to be a part of these workshops and have these meaningful conversations and see the young adults in our community and see the work that they're doing and know that they're capable of leading our community to the next level. And you're also going to be able to honor the work of the Muslim Journal.
I said, Takbir, Allah, Akbar, Marsha, I tell you, Yeah, I mean, that's an ambassador. That's an ambassador because everything that she said, I'm echoing that. You know, in lieu of about two and a half years of being shut down, the whole country, you know, why wouldn't we want to be in person? There's some things you just can't experience, you know, just looking at a computer, you know. The time to be grateful, we got that experience a couple of years ago in Atlanta, but that is not what we wanted to do and be about, of course, and just the camaraderie. It's just unbelievable. It's, you know, I think it's about the next closest thing to going to Hajj. You know, you have to do it for yourself. I don't think we can find the words that we can say in terms of how important to actually have the physical presence that's there. And, you know, I'm going to give Professor Aisha a couple of few minutes to actually talk about that. And I know that she and Joan, they hear it all the time. Each year, it gets bigger. It gets better. This is historic. First graduation here. And they choose to use this platform for that. And it's in regards to the theme. To the theme in terms of literacy, education, words make people. What best words to make people than the words coming from Almighty God, Allah? You tell me. There is no better word, you see. So I don't want to sound like I'm giving a kubah, but I'm so excited about this, and we all should be excited about this. And we're going to start, you know, in terms of wrap-up, but I want to give everybody on this panel an opportunity to express the importance of this event and why you should be there. It is a promotion for something that I think that we should feel obligated and responsible for supporting the Muslim Journal, our own newspaper, as it begins to evolve in the 21st century and all. So I'm going to start with our young people, and we're going to work backwards, you know, all the way back to a longtime editor, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa. So Brother Bilal Walker and also Sadika, I want to start with you in terms of wrap-up. I'm going to give everybody 2 minutes as we begin to wind down. As you think about your contribution, and this is the first, is so much infusion in terms of our young adults, and you don't represent our future, you represent our present. Youth represents our future. But when you become a young adult and you already assuming responsibility, you are present. And as Imam Muhammad used to teach us, he said, whenever you have a homonym, words that sound alike, there's an association. So we know present can represent in terms of time, but present can also represent in terms of gift. You all are our gift right now, present, and that's how the ATTBG is actually looking at you in terms of being a present. 2 minutes, if you would, Brother Bilal Walker, and Sonica, if you would, why is it so important for the believers and members in the Association Imam W.D. Muhammad to be supportive of this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful? I'm going to start with you, Sonica, and then I'll go to Bilal to get his insight. Sonica?
Yes. Well, like Sister Jones said, we have many ideas and, you know, many multiple things that we're looking to do, we're looking forward to do within this community. And everybody, like I said before, everybody been saying for years that they wish the young adults step up and the young adults come forward and bring their ideas. So now we're here. We want everybody to see what we can do. We want everybody to see what we can bring to the community, how much of leaders we can be, and how much we want to show the pioneers that they can trust us and leave the work that they did in our hands, and we can make it bigger and better.
Alhamdulillah, that's so good. Very well said. Oh, thank you so much. And I feel so happy in my soul. It brings tears to my eyes. Brother Al Walker, you got a couple of minutes. Share your insight in terms of this year's time to be grateful and what you're looking forward to, and why should the believers be supporting the 2023 time to be grateful? Brother Walker.
Alhamdulillah. Everyone should be supporting the time to be grateful and the Muslim Journal, just really on the strength of the fact that we have to maintain our own like stakeholdership in media.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a lot of publications out here that can say that they've been around for over 5-6 decades. And so to continue that legacy, we must continue to support the Muslim Journal in any extension of its events. Additionally, I would just say, like, you know, if we leave it in the hands of other people outside of the community to tell our story, then we lose a sense of power. There's a strength in storytelling that needs to continue to happen within our community. Storytelling helps to do a lot of things, not just socially but politically, when you can tell your story to stakeholders who have the power to make change. And there's a lot of needs that need to be met within our community that I feel like if more community members were aware of our publication and would buy into and subscribe to the information that we're putting into the Muslim Journal, that we wouldn't have to seek the authority of other people to tell our story or to produce our events or to know what's really going on in our community. People outside of us don't know really who we are. And more of them are intrigued, and they want to know more. So I say let's come together and give them more, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. And, you know, very well said, too. And when we had Imam Muhammad on, Kareem Muhammad, the resident imam there, I offered to him the opportunity, what I would call, and you can name it whatever you want to name it, the Muslim Journal Hour here on IWDM Radio, free of charge and everything. And as I listen to both of you, you know, with the passion that you have in your voice, this could be something that the Muslim young adults can have, as things are always happening throughout the years. Joan Najla has said with the Muslim Journal, this can be an outlet for you to disseminate that information. And I will work with you in terms of hosting, and we have Rashid Salam will work with you in terms of engineering your own program and getting it out. We would love to do that as a contribution for the work and effort that's being made, as has been said earlier by Professor Aisha, in terms of journalists and disseminating the information by the printed word, but also by the spoken word. I think Muslim Journal needs to have their own platform, and I'd be willing to make that type of accommodation. So we can talk about that, but I really, really have enjoyed you all. I mean, especially you young people and all. So we have a lot of faith in you, confidence in you, and I'm just really elated with the work that you're doing. So keep that good work up. So now we're going to go to you, my dear sister Marcia, in terms of your 2 minutes. I think you're the number one ambassador, as I'm listening here, in terms of Muslim Journal and also trying to be grateful. And I already know my sister Aisha, K. Mustafa, and Joan, they got a big smile on their face. I can actually feel they smile all the way through here in St. Louis. I know they heart and everything, and how happy they are, and that how you make us elders and pioneers in the community, how you make us feel. Marcia, 2 minutes. Why should you be there this year, 2023, in Newark, New Jersey? Talk to us.
So you should be there because a time to be grateful is the testament to the fact that good things are happening in our community. So often it is said that, you know, nothing's going on. Where are the young people? you know, we used to have this and we used to have that. And to be in this space is to experience what is to experience what is happening right now. I would love so much to extinguish the rhetoric that nothing's going on or very little is going on or, you know, all the negative things. I would love for us to see this experience as a way to retrain our mind to look for the good in the things that exist in our community. And perhaps it doesn't look like what it used to look like before, but being in this space does show you the opportunity and the possibilities that exist for what is ahead of us. And in addition to that, we all need to learn more about the Muslim Journal, its significance, where it's going, where we could help, what skill sets do we have that could help to benefit the journal and to have our voices be heard in the public space with our perspective. Bilal was just talking about the fact that there are not many spaces that have that, and there are not many places and spaces where we have that opportunity. And so we have the journal, and so we have to go back to making it a significant treasure in our community. And then it's just a good time to be together amongst each other, seeing your brothers and sisters who oftentimes you've been seeing on Zoom for like the past 3 years, right? You get to be in the space and in the place with them. Last year was actually, it was my second A Time to Be Grateful, but I didn't realize I was at A Time to Be Grateful during that blizzard, but I was there. So I will say that last year, in my mind, I thought it was my first A Time to Be Grateful, but it was good to see all of the Muslims in one space, you know, under one purpose and really in that positive energy. And so it's an opportunity for you to feel that energy and help to propel your situation forward in your local community.
Alhamdulillah. I know you got a different concept of 2 minutes, but since I got you there, Marsha, I'll be remiss because you laughing. I got to get you to give the information to our radio listener. You got to give the information in terms of registration, very, very important registration. If you're on the fence of what you heard tonight, you should be off the fence. How can they register? Is there still room? And everything, these are questions that ask. We know that the hotel where everything will be happening, it is actually filled for the rooms that have been reserved. But there are adjacent hotels that's in the area and everything. How can they get registered, if you would? Can you disseminate that information for us, please?
Absolutely. So in order to get your tickets and to find out about all of the events that are going to be happening for this time period, visit www.masjidalhaq.com. And when you get to the website, you'll be able to see everything that's going to be happening at A Time to Be Grateful. You'll be able to go and purchase tickets through that website. And you'll get to access hotel information on that website. As you said, the main hotel is booked, but there are other hotels in the vicinity, maybe a 8-minute drive, a few hotels are from that main hotel, and that information is also on the website. So make sure you go visit www.masjidalhaq.com and get off the fence. And get your ticket. And be out of time to be grateful.
Get off the fence. And also, by doing that, you can be assured that the packet that you will receive will already be done. That avoids you having to stand in line and wait. Don't wait till the day of. They already have your packet because you are already registered. And they have your name and all the information, everything you're going to need. You're going to have to select where you go because there's so many diverse workshops and everything, but all that information will be in your packet, and it'll be waiting on you if you go ahead and get registered. Thank you so much, Marsha. Going to move on down the road here, and my beloved sister, Joan Najala. You got 2 minutes. Talk to us in terms of why you should be there, Joan, this year, 2023, in the new home of the Muslim Journal.
Well, I'm going to give you a big, big tea of information.
Okay.
Our keynote speaker is going to be Dr. Yusuf Salam.
Ooh.
And our guest speaker
him.
Is going to be Mayor Raf Barak of Newark.
Mm.
So
now, are we talking
about,
let me ask you, are we talking about Imam Yusuf Salam Asaleen?
No, we're talking about Dr. Yusuf Salam, the exonerated five.
Okay, okay, gotcha, okay, okay.
The exonerated five.
Okay,
and you know the history
gotcha.
Behind that. And you know the history behind that, and he's a prior awardee. And see, this is what Aisha has always implemented, that we acknowledge, a Muslim Journal acknowledge people of goodwill service, and then in turn,
yes.
they can come back and give back. And I want to say
yes.
one more thing about the youth. Again, I do have a smile on my face. I'm smiling every time I hear Marsha, Bilal, Salaga talk. You can see the smile. You just can't even see it. But anyway, they have an all-access pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not cheap. It's $215. And they're willing to pay it. And they're going to be at the awards banquet. They're going to be at the business breakfast. They're going to be at the culture night. They're going to be at the workshop. They're going to be at the sneaker ball, inshallah, and the paint. And they came up with a signature event called the Bean Pie Contest, which we have as another legacy. So that's all I have to say. Come in to witness that. I got a smile on my face.
I love it. I love it, Joe. Well, you gave multiple reasons why you should be there and everything, what you can experience. And I have to say, that first day, wow, it's loaded too, you know. So this is actually giving an additional day to this year, time to be grateful. Last but not least, our sister, longtime editor of the Muslim Journal, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa. Now, Aisha has her own 2 minutes, so I'm going to just say 2 minutes, and inshallah, when she stops, she stops. Okay. Why should they do that, Aisha? Talk to us.
Praise be to Allah. Just because, you know, you got to be somewhere. Be with us. You know,
you got to be somewhere. And you're probably going to be spending
somewhere.
Money, right?
And you're going to be spending money. You know y'all are going to be spending money. So spend it with us. And in that regard, we also want to note, if you cannot come, we have the Time to Be Grateful souvenir brochure, which is a keepsake.
Yes.
And that deadline is quickly approaching. I think it's November what, John?
November 1st.
November 1st.
Yeah.
So you got about less than 15 days to get your ad in. Make sure you are present in the souvenir brochure. Congratulate the Muslim Journal. Congratulate our host. Congratulate the awardees that will be presented. And that way you can support. If you're not going to be able to travel, if you're not, can you say, well, I can buy a quarter page, a half page, a full page congrats ad in the souvenir brochure. Or you can just buy a patron ad. That's your name listed. You know, it's like, you know, just acknowledging I was here. So please consider that. Also, theme is very, 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 very important. Words make people. We know that was the theme Imam Muhammad started. Our dear brother
yes.
Mikhail Sahir made it, gave it longevity with his program.
Yes.
And he's going to do a workshop under that title. But words make people. Imam
mm-hmm.
always told us he focused on brain matter,
mm-hmm.
developing your brain, developing substance. And reading is very important to your brain matter. you know, there's a thing that's given to the seniors. If you're seeing signs of Alzheimer's, he said the best thing you could do is learn a new language. Because learning language puts grooves in gray matter. It literally changes the structure of your brain matter. So if you got a grandmother or something that's experiencing Alzheimer's, invite her to a Quranic Arabic class. She doesn't have to try to be prolific. It's just the idea of exposing the brain to language. And if we are not careful, we're going to lose the ability, our literacy ability, we're going to lose it. And if we lose that, then young people, you're all going to start experiencing Alzheimer's at an earlier age.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't protect your brain. The other thing is that social media is great. I'm on it all the time. That's where the people are. That's where our youth are. And you have to go where the people are. But at the same time, think in context of ownership. If you don't own it, you can be unplugged. You know, just like now in the conflict in the Palestine and Gaza, when you start being too vocal and pro-Palestinian, you get unplugged.
That's right.
Elon Musk can unplug you from Twitter. Zuckerberg can decide what you can put on Facebook and Instagram. That's their control. They would talk freedom of speech, but you start saying the wrong speech, and they will unplug you. So think in terms of ownership. Whatever you do, make sure you have an ability to own it. And in coming to the end of my 2 minutes, Brother Mark, I want to leave two things. One.
Okay.
Quranic base, you mentioned this is Quranic base.
Yes.
The surah that we started out with was Surah 55, Al-Rahman, the Beneficent. And if you read Surah 55 up through like the upper part of this chapter up through like 30-some ayats, there's a cadence to the verses. And after the five or six, and then there's a cadence that comes in that says, and which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? And it gives you another example of the favors that have been given to you, and then it just asks you, and which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? And that was what we started out with the time to be grateful. We're grateful because which of the favors of our Lord will we deny? Even in hard times, we'll be having the worst times. And you still have to get up in the morning and say, Allah favored me to open my eyes. And Allah favored me to be Muslim. And then I'm going to close out. May we all have the forethought and the concern and pray for Gaza and the Palestinians. A lot of young people were buried in Gaza yesterday when that hospital was bombed. A lot of Palestinians are in the condition that our people were in coming out of Jim Crow South. Coming out of intense odds against, you know, and for them to be characterized as unworthy, as unworthy, characterized that they don't have the right to their inheritance from their parents, the land that their parents were born on and raised on, they don't have the right to that inheritance. They have to look at somebody else living in that land. They have to stand somewhere else in a ghetto and look back over at everybody else having fun. And then they're supposed to suck it up. And don't say nothing. Don't get upset. Don't get angry. Hey,
that's
just the way it is. You know, we relive all these situations over and over again. We relive the time where Europeans sat around a table, literally sat around a table and carved up Africa. Is there. Colonized the Africans, drove them off, oppressed them so much that they couldn't speak out. We lived it again, even though we enjoying it, but we lived it again when we developed a country and a government on top of Indian land, Native Americans, and relegated them to reservations. And now that they found a few resources, And now they found a few resources in the rocks on the reservation. They want that too. You know, up in the Black Mountains, where the Indians were given as reservations, basically useless land. They said, oh, now there's some resources up there. There are metals and oils and minerals that we can use to create our advanced society. So now they want that back. And then we sit and watch the Palestinians. And people say, they would literally tell you there was no Palestine. Yes, it was. You can find the map. It was on the map of 1947. Then they started taking it off the map. And then a little bit that they were going to give to the Palestinians and let them come back home to, they eaten that away. They have illegal settlements being built to this day. They are evicting Palestinians to this day from their property, sending them on the sidewalk, and moving somebody else in that's not them. Palestinians and Jewish people who co-marry, the Jewish person has a right that her spouse does not have. It's a second-class citizenship.
Yes, ma'am.
But then we stand back and we wonder, what is wrong with them Palestinians? Why are they so mad? Why are they so upset?
Oh, boy.
Why are they living in a ghetto looking at somebody else picking from their olive trees, from their fig trees, enjoying their land, and they can't even come back home, and people go to those lands for vacations.
Yes.
They go to Israel for a vacation, and Palestinian can't even go home. So
yes, ma'am. I appreciate you actually bringing it to attention. We should make dua each and every day for the Gaza and the Palestinian people, and it should be a reminder what our foreparents went through being enslaved, and as you say, Jim Crow, in all what it has been experienced. You see how that's parallel. And they have nowhere to go. Innocent lives are being lost. It's just devastating, terrifying to see what is transpiring. And this goes back, for many, many years, and actually scriptural, too, as Imam Muhammad has said, in regards to this, back even further than 1947, or what, in terms of the mindset, that there are certain segments of Jews, the Zionists, actually think in terms of depriving the inheritance of a people. So it's important even for the Muslim Journal. See, this is why it is so important, so that we can have our voice in terms of the say. So we have to, at least, if we can't change it with our hands, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, we should at least speak up and speak out against it. This is another reason why it's so important to have, sustain, and maintain the Muslim Journal, so that we can always have a voice in terms of the wrongs, the social ills that are plaguing not only there, but we have to connect with all Muslim and all right-minded people. But if we don't have that vehicle, we won't have the expression that's needed and necessary. I want to thank you so much, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, for your presence here tonight. I want to thank you so much, John Najala, for your presence here tonight. For you, Marsha Nevins, for your presence here tonight. For you, Salika Mekki, for your presence here tonight. And also Brother Bilal Walker, for your presence here tonight. You always have an open invitation here on IWDM Radio, and so much information. So they have given so many reasons. If you can possibly be there for this year's 2023, time to be grateful. It's going to be a historic event, because the new things, the addendums and everything, it's just hard to really envision, as Professor Aisha said, the very first one. But now look at us now in the 21st century, and we owe this to the Muslim Journal. As I say, each and every production here on IWDM Radio, it has been the lifeblood of this community. So please, you understand, get off the fence. As one of our panelists has said, you shouldn't be on the fence at this point. If you can find a way, as my grandmother just said, find a way or make a way for what it is that is important to you to make sure that you're there. I want to just extend the greetings of peace to all of you, and I do want to talk to you about having a presence here, the Muslim Journal Hour here, free of charge, here on IWDM Radio, whereas the updates and things that are happening with the Muslim Journal, and this will be an excellent opportunity in terms of journalism, for the young people, you understand, can actually take that up on themselves and keep the community abreast of the various things that are happening not only nationally but internationally and topics at a point of interest that the Muslim Journal will be featuring here on IWDM Radio. So with that being said, I want to extend the greetings to all of you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaikum
as-salam.
Thank you.
Wa alaikum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. I want to thank them. Boy, what a night. As we wrap up tonight here on IWDM Radio, a very distinguished, sustained panel, representatives of this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful. Please be there. Go ahead and get registered. I look at being there. You see somebody stumbling and bumbling around, that would be me. So make sure you extend the greetings of peace, the camaraderie. You won't forget it. The information, the education is going to be valuable to you. You never know who you're going to run into at the time to be grateful. And we do. And we should always be grateful for what it is Allah has blessed us with. The beat goes on real quickly here. As tomorrow is Thursday, the Sister Learning Lab to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. That is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And I'm going to have a special guest facilitator. That's going to be Khalila Akbar out of the Queen City, Charlotte, North Carolina. She'll be joining me. And we are still on the True Love Recipe. And you want to be there, and we want to invite you to give your insight in terms of qualities and characteristics, would this be in your true love recipe? That starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, it's 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. Friday is Salat Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized, who can't get out and about, you can come back here to IWDM Radio with the very distinguished Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer. It happens at Noor Islamic Center, and that starts at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central, 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here, right here on IWDM Radio. A new production here on IWDM Radio is the Muslim Book Club, once again hosted by Imam Mikhail Sayer. The first publication is a two-book volume, as Professor Aisha saying, the importance of reading. Our honorable First Lady and mother of our community, Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the mother of our nation. There'll be a reading, and then there'll be commentary on these two great books that was authored by Dr. Zakia Muhammad, one of our educator extraordinaires that she authored in her lifetime. So that happens each and every Saturday, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio, the longest-running production. You just heard it a few minutes ago. Once again, the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir, as he hosts a show called Words Make People. Sounds familiar? It happens each and every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central. It's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. My good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha, he hosts a very intriguing, informational, and can be educational production called ABC, that stands for Al-Islam-Based Conversation. It can't be a conversation just by yourself. So we ask that you tune in You can tune in each and every Monday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Tuesday, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam and his off-returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, as they talk about the science of your health and you learning lab. That happens each and every Tuesday here on IWDM Radio starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And Wednesday, yes, we talk. It is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the very distinguished esteemed Dr. Patricia Slow-Dean out of Miami, Florida. She teams with me, yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab as we teach in terms of what is correct parenting from an Islamic base and how to reconstruct the destructive family life right here on IWDM Radio. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, this 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, and it's followed by the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable that's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed, as I like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, outside the community, but also topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And so that happens each and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Last but not least, please support the Muslim Journal, as it has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many years. Keep up your subscription, and if you have the wherewithal, think about a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, a pioneer, or maybe your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. Last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful to be held in Newark, New Jersey, the new home of the Muslim Journal. So please make sure, don't hesitate, don't deliberate, and most certainly don't procrastinate. Go ahead and get registered. Be there. Don't get it secondhand. So with that being said, I want to have a thank our radio listening audience, because without you, there wouldn't be IWDM Radio. And a very special thanks go to my engineer, Rashid Salam. And so until next time, Islam, you and yours, as we listen, Queen of Soul, yeah, they're really touching soul. That's all, folks. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.